when Pastor Jennifer actually asked me to speak, the time when my sisters were here, we were already talking about, the message that we have received from Mom Nolan many, many years ago about the well and the Old Testament, the wells in the Old Testament. And I was thinking, that was really a message that struck my heart. And up to now, it's still very bubbling in my heart, that message about Mom's preaching regarding wells in the Old Testament. So while boiling in my heart, Sister Jennifer actually called me and said, will you be able to speak? And then initially, it was the 27th of August. And then I figured, if that would be the time, then probably I will be in the hospital. Maybe I can speak from this hospital bed. But nonetheless, Sister Jennifer said, maybe make it the 20th. It's exactly the same. Exactly 1 year ago when I was here, invited by Sister Jennifer to actually preach. So actually, this is a privileged time. God making things, me going to hospital, receiving information. I'm going to go surgery tomorrow, on my way to hospital, calling me again, say, I'm sorry, it's postponed. It's a roller coaster of emotion. It's just very hard. Anyhow, this time I hope, I believe the Lord has actually ordained, as God will actually provide us with his word. I'm thankful to the Lord that He has given me this message. I'm sharing only because, as Sister Jennifer said, I will be sharing. I'm not really preaching. I'm sharing what the Lord has placed in my heart. And hopefully it will resonate to all of us regarding what the Lord has prepared for us today. And just a word of prayer for every one of us before we start. Dear God, we do come before your throne right now, O Lord. Father God, seeking your grace, seeking your mercy, seeking your Holy Spirit, O God. Anoint your word today. Anoint our hearts, O Lord, that as we listen, Father God, we're listening because you have anointed our hearts to listen to your word. Reach out to us, O Jesus. Reach out to our hearts. Reach out to our minds. Give us focus, O God, as we listen, as we pray, and as we meditate on your word today, O Jesus. Father, we give you praise, and we bring this to you before your throne. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Sister Jennifer spoke about the Samaritan woman and Jesus Christ last week. And I figured, there you go. My message gone. And then I have to call her and say, is it okay if I carry on with the message that you have started? So, just like Star Wars, I will be the prequel. And Sister Jennifer was the chapter 3 and 4. Anyhow, so when we speak about wells of living water in the Old Testament, truly there is a connection between why are there wells in the Old Testament and how are they connected in the New Testament. So we will see that there is an important element of the living water coming from the wells in the Old Testament versus the new living water that we have received through Jesus Christ. And we'd understand from there. Now, well would always be important. Let me read for you a scripture where Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. The thing about the Philistines is that having a well in your community is very important. It actually makes the community thrive because there is a source of water. The problem with the Philistines, instead of them actually having the well and use them for themselves, they plugged it with earth. So it stopped working. Because they had something against Abraham. And Isaac comes around and say, hey, this is from my father. And I will dig it up and I will make it alive again. We'll talk about this a bit more. And it says here, but when Isaac's servants dug the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. In fact, they've actually stopped the water from flowing. So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him, Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitna. Now, Esek is actually a Hebrew word for contention, and Sitna is a Hebrew word for enmity. So there is an important role that wells bring about in a community, to the point where they're actually arguing about it. If it is not that important, they wouldn't be arguing about it. Later on, we will read about Isaac being able to move on from these two occasions and bring together his servants and dig another well. Now, here is an example of what probably might have happened in the well during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A very crude illustration. Now, this one that I've researched is actually the well of Abraham, which has actually been modernized now in Israel. And we'll talk about it a bit later. Now, from here, we would understand that there is really a big importance of well. Up to now, in our generation, there are still ways and means of using well. So well will never leave us. It is always important because there is always a source of water, source of living, source of community, source of people, you know, drawing themselves together in front of a well. As you can see here, this is quite now. This is a well dug from earth, and it's being used for irrigation. To modernize it on a commercial level, this is still an image of water dug from a well, but with a more modern technology. Now, even in Europe, this has been around for many, many years as well. These are local fountains where it's originated from a well. People around Italy would actually look for this fountain, and they're able to actually drink from it. In fact, the locals actually encourage that tourists should not be bringing their own water bottles, but they should actually just be using the wells or the fountains that has been provided by the local government. So from there, we would know that there is always an important aspect that wells bring to the lives of people around them. Now, in the Old Testament, there is also a very good scriptures that actually tell us that even from the time of Abraham, we have actually been in situations where we have encountered wells. So what is there about wells that is so important for us? Now, in the wells of the old, there were already mentions of how well has actually affected people. Here, as we would see here, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 14, therefore, the wells was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. This one, as you would remember, Hagar was actually running from her employer, Sarai, and because she is actually in a very desperate situation. From that time on, she fled, and she was met by an angel at a well. And this is the first time that well was actually mentioned in the Bible. So from then on, she said, she called it the Beer Lahairoi. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So that was the first important part that Hagar encountered. For her, it was really a spiritual encounter. So all in all, what we can actually see is that there will be times when God calls you in a certain situation where you think it's very desperate. Then you meet God in a desperate situation. So another one is this. Moses' rock and water. From there, they continued to bear that is the well the Lord said to Moses, assemble the people that I may give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it. You know the story of the Israelites complaining, right? They're complaining, Lord, we don't have food. And then, Lord, we don't have bread. The manna came. Lord, we're sick and tired of bread. Then the quails actually turned up. And then said, Lord, we're going to die. Why did you bring us in the desert? And then we don't even have water. Here comes Moses, God telling him, just speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He was angry and struck the rock. Okay, that's because he struck the rock, he didn't enter the promised land. So be careful on striking the rock. So what we're saying is that God has got so much in anticipation of what Moses can do. Now, because there is a message behind the rock and the water that gushed out from the rock. We'll talk about this later. But Moses' rock and water is in fact actually an illustration of Christ himself. Rock being God, being Christ, okay, the cornerstone, and water being the living water. So even at the time of Moses, there was already a mention on the Old Testament going into the New Testament, but this is really, really early on. Now, here, as we have read a while ago, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. He became very prosperous. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and in great households, so that the Philistines envied him. So he, remember that Isaac was actually a herdsman, meaning he had flock, meaning he had sheep, he had goats, he had camel. He needs to actually feed and take care of his flock. If he doesn't have well to water the things that he's got, they will eventually die. They will actually have to move on. But the Lord has blessed him in this situation that where he has found himself a well to actually support his family and his flock. Now, wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them together. Now, in Isaac's time, what he did is that after he has found himself moving away from the two wells that he created, he said, okay, we will build an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. This is the third well that Isaac's servants actually dug. So coming from the two wells that they fought for, now there's a third well that he actually dug. This is what we call the Beersheba. This is the well that's still actually existing right now in Israel. Now, we're talking about the Old Testament instances of well. There is also an instance where Rebecca was at a well. You know that Rebecca is the wife of Isaac. And what happened here is that before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebecca, who was born in Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. There is this servant of Isaac looking away, moving away from a very far land, looking for the wife, looking for a wife for Isaac. Because it's just time for him to be married. Therefore, while on his way, he found a well, and lo and behold, Rebecca was there. There's a story here. As you know, before he found Rebecca, there were shepherds harassing Rebecca. So what he did, okay, I've got confused. I'll tell you the story later. Let's do here. Another instance of a well in the Bible is this. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. So I was going too fast and faster than myself. This is where Moses actually found the shepherds harassing Sephora, which was what happened here is that Moses actually found a wife. because Siforo was on a well, and he actually became a hero in a way because he protected Siforo from the harassment of the shepherds. So this is good news for those who are still single. I think there's a chance that you would find your well. Go for it. And for the men who are still single, it's time to walk now and find that well. Anyway, this is a joke. But there is truth behind this. There is truly a truth behind this. The women found at the well, they were working. They actually were working to feed and flock and feed and support their families. So what happened here is that the well was a location where there was a divine encounter. I remember I had my divine encounter with my wife back when Keith Moody invited me to his housewarming / birthday party, and the rest is history. So a divine encounter is something that you would not really expect. That's why it's divine. But the Lord provides the situation where you'll be amazed that God has moved beyond your thinking, that God has provided for you in a very, very divine way. Now, what would be the well of the new? This is where we now hold the relationship of the old well into the new well. When God was asking Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to find a place, dig a well, prepare yourselves a well, it becomes an element of worship. You know, digging a well is not easy. Digging a well takes a lot of labor. Do you know how deep a well can be? At least 50 feet. The Jacob's well is actually 45 feet. So without the use of modern equipment, imagine how difficult it is to dig a well. The thing about digging a well is that if you find a place and dig a well, you would hope there's water. You would hope there is something there that can actually sustain you for living. And that is by faith. So you dig a well thinking there's water, and then you struck rock. What would you do? Oh, no, do you continue? Of course. And then you carry on, you carry on, you carry on, 10 feet, 12, 20 feet, 30 feet, and there's still no water. It's actually very discouraging, right? Until you find a well that bubbles with water. And then the excitement is there. The fulfillment of finding water is there. So, you know, in the Philippines, we have a name for a well, which is, we call it pozo. Okay, that is something that we pump, and then waters come out. Sometimes we call it bomba. Okay, you call it bomba de agua. And so I think it's going to be similar to how Esperanza would say it in Spanish. But when we do that, And then we would bring our handyman to actually dig. They would have really, really long poles of pipes. They dig. Sometimes water would gush out, but it's all red, muddy, and really, really awful. And then when that first gush out of water comes out, everyone gets excited and says, too big. And then we say, water's gone. But the workers would say, no, that is not the water we're looking for. They keep on digging until they actually strike what we call an aquifer, which is the place under your earth where water is actually contained in a location. This is very pure because above that area, you would have either limestone or rock that would sift and that would make the water pure. When Sister Jennifer was talking about spring of water in her is that farm? I cannot identify with it because I haven't seen a well that has got spring water coming out from it. The closest I can think of is a manhole when it's flooding. So that is the kind of bubbling that's actually playing in my mind, thinking, okay, that's the kind of bubbling that I see. It's actually black. It's not something you can drink. So for me, having a water that's bubbling, that's actually beyond thinking. And then only the closest thing I can have is actually to see a pump coming out with water. But to understand that there is water under that earth is something that's mind-boggling to me as well. Imagine water coming through earth and little by little dripping into the depth of the earth, and to be able to be found, and to be able to supply life, to be able to supply and support community and make communities thrive. That is something what we call provision from the Lord. Now, when God said the well of the new, and then we referred back to the living water coming from the Old Testament's water, there's only way to actually think that that living water would only be describing Jesus Christ. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When I was studying, I figured, why is it sixth hour? That means probably it's lunchtime. And to walk to a well at lunchtime is in tremendous heat. Now, the point here is, when the Samaritan woman was there, it was at lunchtime. Being a Samaritan woman, she did not want to have anything to do with the people around because she is actually a Samaritan woman. People will be talking about her. Therefore, she would fetch her water. In one of the studies I've done, during this very odd time of the day, generally speaking, people will not fetch water at this time of the hour because it's really hot. Now, here comes Jesus and then saying, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, naturally. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? So Jesus is actually presenting himself to the Samaritan woman in terms of, do you know where you are? Do you know how you are in this place at this hour of the day? And then that's the time when Jesus Christ has had a conversation with the Samaritan woman. Now, and then Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? So we're talking about the depth of the well. Understanding that this is Jacob's well, this has been around for many years. For us who have been with the Lord for a long time, for us who have been with Christ for a number of years, who have experienced God many times in our lives, we have found ourselves wells in our walk with God. You know, the wells that God has bring to us, it's not just for us. The wells that the Lord has asked us to dig, they're not just for us. It actually affects the future generation as well. So when God has found you in a situation where you have to dig a well, we are not digging that well for ourselves only. We are having a well that is good for the next generation. So how much good your well is going to be for the next generation? So when the Samaritan woman and Jesus Christ found themselves at the well of Jacob, that well of Jacob has been there for thousands of years. And that is still providing supply to this generation. So Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Then the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw. When I was reading this, I was actually hoping to get a better understanding of what was the life of the woman when she was actually listening to Christ. What was going on in her mind when she was listening to Jesus? I was thinking, at this point in time, God has already reached out to her heart. God, Jesus, has already touched her heart with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why she was saying, so I will not be thirsty nor come to the way here to draw. That is what it is when we encounter the living water. Sometimes it takes a while before we touch the living water. By faith, we dig on deeper and deeper. In our walk as Christ, as Christians, sometimes the Lord brings us in a situation where the Lord tells us, go out and dig a well for yourself. It's a command. We would only be part of that miracle of finding the living water if we keep on digging to find it. And then, as we keep on digging, there will be difficulty in finding our way in digging to the living water. But that is something that we need to keep on going. When we started our company, it was very hard. But I knew God asked to put up our own office. I grew up in a church community in the Philippines where when you live by faith, you ask God that, and you will trust God that He will provide for your resources. But there were many occasions when it felt that the well was actually dry. I will be very honest, it becomes really hard. Those are the times when you would think the resource has actually stopped. But as you keep on digging, there will be another area where you would find another source of living water. So in our walk with God, sometimes you'd find yourself dried up. But it doesn't mean that the living water is not there. The living water would always be there. You just actually need to keep on digging for it. That is how it is with Christian walk. It is not based on emotion, but a commitment to find God in everything that's happening to us. And living water is going to come. The fresh living water would always be there. So, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, then let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I cannot tell you guys what it feels to understand living water. It is your personal encounter with Jesus. I may have my own understanding of how living water just gushed through in my heart and in my mind and in my gut and in my being. I can only share it. I cannot tell you what it is to discover living water. The joy of digging water from the well and the joy of finding water while you're digging the well is an experience that you can never, never replicate to anyone else. It is a personal thing. So what we're hoping to do is when we find our well and dig for the living water, it is an experience that would last us a lifetime. It is an experience, a spiritual experience that would actually make us seek for more living water in our lives. When this was happening with Jesus during his time in the New Testament, we were hoping that it will translate to us for the now. So how would we equate the living water of the Old and the New Testament into our present situation, into the present generation. So for me, that present invitation for us is to have an opportunity to say yes to the invitation of Jesus Christ. So when he said, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So this is an experience that you and I will only be able to encounter as we agree to the invitation of the Lord to drink the living water. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. There was a time when the wells of Abraham became really dry because the Philistines actually stopped up with earth and stone. And when it was dry, there was nothing happening to it. In the Old Testament, when they asked some of the servants to get water and they found out that there's no water, they called that pit. The pit doesn't actually have water. So there was useless. Even in the Bible, when in Peter, I think that says they are like wells without water, meaning that they are actually pretending to be someone who's actually doesn't have any substance in spirituality. So when Jesus said to us when Isaac started bringing up the water, digging the well of Abraham, he was actually bringing life to the wells that were actually dry. It can be our situation sometimes when we think that our wells are actually dried up. But as an invitation, we can still bring together ourselves into digging the well that was once lush with living water. And now we will need to find that living water again. In some of the things that I would like to share with you, in Genesis 26, I'll just read from my notes, 26:24, the Lord appeared to him, which is Isaac, the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Moses. So after this, Abraham, Isaac, built an altar, and there he called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. This was a worship encounter with Isaac. And he found out more about his God because God has spoken to him. In closing, I'd just like to say, therefore, you would joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, as we said in Isaiah. I'm always excited to know that when God talks about his provisions, it is always living. It is always active in our walk. There may be some times that is hard, but our encounter with the living water would keep it fresh. We should always be able to draw water and providence from God himself. And we will always find divine appointments in times when it's actually needed because we have sought the face of the Lord as we dig our wells. Let's have a word of prayer before we end. Dear God, we come before your throne, O Lord. Father, seeking your face, seeking your heart, seeking your mind, O Lord. Father, we have found you as our living water, Lord. Father, we ask that you will completely provide your presence and your Holy Spirit, that your living water will always be alive in us, O God. We thank you for that invitation, O Lord. We bring to you our concerns, Lord, the difficulty sometimes of digging wells, O God. We bring them to you. Provide us with the strength. Provide us with the faith. Provide us with the patience, O God, to continue digging until we have chanced upon you, until we have found you, O our God. We give you praise for your work in us. We give you glory for everything that you're doing. Lord God, we ask for your mercies and your kindness every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.